Blog Talk Radio.
In the desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble. I want to thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join me on the broadcast of this program. For the last month, God has been speaking to us in pretty spectacular ways. I'm thinking back to the media frenzy over the situation of protests and racism in Charlottesville. That's been a while ago, where you had these different groups from Antifa, white supremacists, and the rest coming together and showing the world the inhumanity of humanity, the hatred, the violence, and of course, political foes to the negative reacted to this. And it wasn't more than a week later to the world paused for a few minutes witnessing the spectacular solar eclipse. And for a few short minutes, while darkness covered the area of the eclipse across the United States, the media and the world didn't talk about racism, Trump, Charlottesville, or the Russian connection. And then, just recently, the Lord has got our attention once again by displaying His fury, His sovereignty, His majesty in the destructive, devastating floods in both Texas and Florida. And then the earthquake in Mexico. And the question is, what in the world has gone wrong? The common response from the culture is, well, Mother Nature is in a bad mood. Is that what it is? Is this some natural disaster? Is this some freak accident, some bad moodism of Mother Nature? Is that really what is going on? When you look at the Bible and the scriptures, you immediately come to the conclusion that God has something to say about all of this. Jesus, when he was in a boat with the disciples, got up and rebuked the wind during a storm and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down and became perfectly calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Jesus displayed his sovereign power over nature. The Bible in the Old Testament says in the book of Job, chapter 26, verses 8 through 9, he wraps up the waters in his cloud, and the cloud does not burst under them. He obscures the face of the full moon and spreads his cloud over it. Job 37, "At this also my heart trembles and leaps from its place. Listen closely to the thunder of his voice and the rumbling that goes out from his mouth. Under the whole heaven he lets it loose, and his lightning to the ends of the earth." Psalm 135, verse 7, "He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain, who brings forth the wind from his treasuries." Psalm 147, verse 8, "Who covers the heavens with clouds, who provides rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains." It doesn't take a degree in theology to come to the conclusion he is sovereign over the weather. He brings the hurricanes, and we rightly respond with compassion and mercy to those lives that have been displaced, that have been uprooted, that have been overturned. And we rightly respond with physical aid, with emotional and spiritual aid. And our thoughts and prayers are with the people in the flood, in the hurricane. But why? Why does all of this evil happen? If there is a good God who is in control of everything, and he loves his creation, why? Perhaps the answer to that is from the lips of Jesus himself. In Luke chapter 13, we have a situation about why God the evil? Why? What is going on? Why the hurricane, if you will? About this time, Jesus was informed that Pilate had murdered some people from Galilee as they were offering sacrifices at the temple. Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other people from Galilee? Jesus asked. Is that why they suffered? Not at all. And you will perish too, unless you repent of your sins and turn to God. And what about the 18 people who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them? Were they the worst of sinners in Jerusalem? No. And I tell you again that unless you repent, you will perish too. That's a straightforward answer to the question of suffering and evil. Notice that Jesus didn't give the standard polemic, philosophical framework and argument about why evil, if God is all good and all powerful. No. He turned to his disciples and said, "Look, you must repent or you too will perish." Well, Jesus, that's kind of harsh. I mean, people are hurting and suffering. How can you not be catering to their self needs? What's wrong, Jesus? When people who sit in the comfortability of their home, or those that have went through the flood that are not Christians and have seen the power and majesty of Almighty God, and they still turn their hardened hearts away and say, ah, Mother Nature's in a bad mood. Ah, at least I'll get all my things back. I'll be rescued. I'll be restored. Jesus would say, you have seen God speaking to you in this storm. And you may have lost everything, but you're still alive. And you're asking, why this God? And I tell you, don't ask why that, but ask why not you. Unless you repent, you will likewise perish. We see in the history of Scripture that the human heart is in rebellion to God. It is hardened against the commands of God. It is insensitive to the voice of God. We see in the book of Hebrews, the writer writes to those sitting on the fence, Jesus is the Messiah. He's the promised Messiah. He has died for your sins. He's rose again from the dead. This is the new covenant in his blood. And there were some Hebrews, some Jewish people, who had full knowledge of this and instead had an indifferent heart toward the Messiah and salvation. And the writer of Hebrews says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. There is a danger when we refuse to repent and harden our hearts to the voice of God. When he has been speaking to us in the storm and we turn our ears away and our heart away. In Revelation chapter 9, verses 20 through 21, when God is pouring out his judgment, his plagues and wrath upon an unbelieving earth, after the church has been raptured and taken away, I want you to hear what John says. He says, but the people who did not die in these plagues still refused to repent of their evil deeds and turn to God. They continued to worship demons and idols made of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, of their witchcraft, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. They did not repent, even after God had sent his judgment and his plagues. They refused to repent. Another example of this in the book of Revelation is chapter 16. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, causing it to scorch everyone with its fire. Everyone was burned by the blast of the heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over all these plagues. They did not repent of their sins and turn to God and give him glory. God has spoken powerfully to us in the hurricane. And in his judgment, he brings mercy. For those that know him, even those that do not know him, he displays his kindness, compassion, and mercy. But there is a message in the storm. There's the voice of God in the storm that says to the hardened heart, come to me. I am your only hope. I am your only salvation. I gave my son in love and compassion towards you. He willingly took the wrath that was due you. He willingly bore the sin, the punishment, the grief. He took your guilt and your shame, and he bore it on a tree. And still, when you hear my voice in the hurricane, you still turn a deaf ear. And I say to you today, I am speaking to you. I am calling out to you. You can't deny with your physical eyes the majesty, the glory, the power that you've witnessed in these hurricanes and floods. I'm calling you to wake up, to recognize your need for me, to recognize that I'm your only hope. And in your desperation to hold on to everything, your job, your career, your status, your possession, you have lost it all. But I'm holding out my arms of love to you. And I'm calling to you. I have something more important, better than all of your possessions, all of your status, all of your gold and silver. Because I'm the treasure that you've been seeking. I'm the treasure that doesn't fade away, that doesn't perish in the storm. And Jesus is calling you today. And you know you've seen the power of God these last few days. He is calling you. Come to me. You who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to the altar. Come to me.
Are you hurting, broken, thin, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling.
The music of Elevation Worship, a song that is very appropriate for the message today. Oh, come to the altar. Perhaps you've never in your life ever done that. What is holding you back from coming to Christ? When you see His power and His greatness, when you see His love, His humility, what is holding you back? Are you like the rich man? There was a story in the Bible of the rich young ruler who ran up to Jesus and fell on his knees before him. He said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" So he recognized Jesus as just a good teacher. What can I do? What kind of bargain can I make? Look, Lord, I want this eternal life that you're talking about. Jesus knew his idea of good. Jesus knew his heart. Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Well, wait a minute, teacher. All of these I have kept since I was a boy. Well, obviously, no one has kept the commandments. Jesus knew that. He was holding back on one of those commandments. He looked at him, and it says in the Bible that he loved him. Even though this man was self-deceived, was really ignorant of his own righteousness, he says, "One thing you lack, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. In other words, his countenance changed. His eagerness, his passion fell away. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." You see, it is easier, Jesus says, for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of God. Who is that rich man? Is that you? You know about the gospel, you know about Christ, you know about God, but you're not willing to give up the idol of your wealth. You see the majesty of God, you see His greatness, you see His power, but you're not willing to part with your status, your wealth. It's easier, Jesus says, for you, for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for you, sir or madam, to enter into the kingdom of God. Does that mean I have to be poor? No, it doesn't say that. It says that if wealth is your idol and your God, then get rid of it. You see, many thousands of people lost everything in this flood, but those that were Christians didn't lose a thing because they had the treasure that mattered most. They had Christ. And so while their possessions can all be restored, they had the greatest of all treasures. They had Christ. And there were thousands in the flood that don't have Christ, that have lost everything because wealth matters more than anything. Possessions, status. God is calling you. Come to the altar. There is mercy. There is healing. There is restoration at the altar. Bow before the holy God of the hurricane, and he reaches out to you with his mercy. Christ is everything and all that you need, and he is waiting with arms open wide because he loves you. He has loved you with an everlasting love. And so come to him. He is full of mercy. His anger is but for a moment, the psalm says, Psalm 103, but his love endures and lasts forever. I want you to hear this beautiful song as we leave today. And if you hear the voice of the God in the storm, listen, obey, and come to him.
Are you hurting, broken, thin, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come. Thank you.